The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It is Cowboy Cardinal week. I don't think I can talk about this matchup enough because this game coming up next Monday night. We don't get Monday night footballs in Arizona very often, at least we haven't over the last few years. It's usually the Thursday night game against Seattle, which is fine, or San Francisco. And Monday night football, they've been bouncing around with their booth. It's been criticized. People have missed football. They've changed announcers, all this stuff. I actually think they found a pretty good group. I was watching last night. The Saints looked like they were dead, done, finished, not happening. And the Chargers with their yellow socks. My wife was like, that looks hideous. And we grew up in San Diego. Like, it just looked awful. But it was a great game. It was a great game. And so you have Kyler Murray against going to Texas. You have DeAndre Hopkins leading the league in catches. I think the big stage for him to stick it to Houston even more. And I think he's a big stage guy. That's what he's all about. You have Fitz on a national stage. You don't know how much longer you're going to have Fitz on a national stage. I think it's a chance for the Cardinals to say to the NFL league offices, hey, guys, you could actually float us in on Monday or Sunday night because we're actually better than just a little bit good. We're actually interesting, have a lot of storylines. So, and then on the Cowboys side, we'll get to that in a bit. There's just a lot around this game that is of interest to me. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking you care of you and your business. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. Sandy Charles with Michael Fabiano, Fantasy Football. Sandy's going to be with us at 10:20 to chop it up with Eric and I, and then she's going to stick around and do Fabs at 10:45 for Fantasy Football, which with what's going on with COVID, Fantasy Football, you got to listen in on Michael. Eric joins us now. What is on your wheel in your wheelhouse today with football? I'm looking at, or anything. I'm looking at Titans and Bills tonight, battle first place teams, and will America support Tuesday night football? What will the rating be for it tonight?
The Chargers rarely win on the field, but they always win when it comes to uniforms. I couldn't disagree with you more about the socks. It's such a great look. I mean, that's your era, Brad. Hideous. You're 87 years old. You should be able to relate to when they wore those throwback uniforms.
I love the powder blues.
As for tonight's game, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of cool having the NFL on Tuesday. I wish it was under a different set of circumstances. Really? But if we could just connect the dots and have some sort of live football on 7 nights a week, I'd be fine with that. So,
and seriously, would you?
Sure, of course. Would I rather watch the NFL game tonight, or would I rather watch the baseball playoffs? I'd rather watch the NFL game tonight. Just like last night, I was all about the NFL, and oh, the Dodgers! What, the Dodgers lost? Oh, okay, the Dodgers lost.
A couple of days to decompress from the NFL.
Nah.
You know, like pay attention, catch a sitcom, catch Cobra Kai over on Netflix, you know, something different. Are you into a Netflix series right now at all? Like my wife and I are watching Cobra Kai and it's just fascinating that this show has taken off to me.
I'm actually working my way through another season of QB1. On Netflix. I watched one of them and now I'm watching an older one. So
do you have anything outside of sports that you're watching right now?
My dog.
Well, okay. Counts. And you volunteer at the no kill shelter.
Yep. Yeah. But and I mean, I do watch other things. I mean,
like
I watch Dateline. I watch certain mystery shows. I mean, I just don't watch all sports, but sometimes I just don't watch TV at all. Sometimes at night I'll go to the gym or I'll go for a walk.
I'm just making sure.
Every now and again, I'll even go on a date. Occasionally, rarely. But
I mean, but I'm just like really Tuesday night football. Now, because this game is good, I'm going to watch. But what if the NFL did say, you know, we could just own every night of the week. And we could put on a game every night. And what happens if the two teams stink? because you know when they release the schedule, there's those games we look at, and they also want every team to get their one national appearance. So when it's Jacksonville against Atlanta, yeah, right.
And we're sitting
It's like, come on now. And would they take the Cowboys? Would they take the big – that's like why this week's – this next Monday night's game for the Cardinals, to me, I look at it from a business standpoint. Like, yeah, it's Cowboy Week. You know how big Cowboy Week is here in Arizona. We just have seen it through the years. The Cowboys aren't great. Their defense isn't good. But it's the sexy team.
Yep.
And the game's in Dallas. And Kyler goes back. And Cliff, who was at Texas Tech, he goes back. And so there's going to be all this buildup. And then on the other side of the street, you've got Andy Dalton starting at quarterback because Dak is gone. And are they going to pay Dak or not? And then you've got CeeDee Lamb, who's really come into a big-time wide receiver. He's emerging. And you have Gallup over there, too. And Ezekiel Elliott's catching more than he's running. And so you have all this stuff going on with the head coach. Is Mike McCarthy really the right guy for it? We had Peter on last week. Peter King's talking about how he's an analytics guy now. He goes for it. He goes for two. Danny White's on the show yesterday. He's a Cowboy analyst. He's saying it was stupid for him to make that move. So you've got this confluence all coming together next week. And to me, it's really interesting. If Chandler Jones doesn't play, can the Cardinals stop them at all? Are we in store for a 37-31 like the Cowboys and Giants had last week? And you know this, Eric. Cowboy fans are insufferable. They are insufferable. And if their team beats the Cardinals, it's like the winner of the ASU U of A game. Those people like to remind you, yep, you know, we are the Cowboys and we took down those Cardinals. Like, okay, enough. Get so back in your truck with your gun racks and horns in the front, drive on.
If the Cardinals can't score points on a Cowboys defense that got shredded by a Giants offense without Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard and other pretty good players around Danny Dimes, I am going to be really, really concerned. But we'll see. And I don't know, getting back to the games every night of the week for the NFL, I would rather watch a good Tuesday or Wednesday night game than watch two teams play in London. I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that.
The players would hate to play on a Tuesday or Wednesday. They would hate it unless it's wrapped around a bye.
Yes.
But there's still something about being a showcase game if it's two good teams, like you said, Brad. Like if tonight was, you know, no offense to the Panthers, if it was like the Panthers and the Falcons, it probably wouldn't catch my attention as much as tonight's matchup. So.
But if I'm a TV executive again, I'm going to go back to, well, heck, Panthers, Falcons, we're going to get big ratings in the South. That's going to be great for us. Versus if it's Cardinals and 49ers, people back in Carolina are like, who cares?
Right.
And the game's starting at 4:30 out here tonight because they want to get it out of the way. So, you know, you're not going to get a great number out here, but it's still this. I don't remember a Tuesday night game.
No.
And I'm not as old Ever. As you. I'm not as old as you said earlier, but I'm old, right? So you know, we see Saturday games. I don't remember a Friday NFL or a Tuesday or Wednesday NFL.
Oh well, you know what? I don't know that because sometimes don't they play on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? So maybe fell around that, there would be
maybe. But you know, the whole sport. What we're seeing right now, because I find it hard to believe that the NFL will go back next August to 4 weeks of fake football. If COVID subsides, and we don't know if it is or isn't, but we don't know if the NFL next year will go back to August being a no football month, or if they're like, you know, we actually got off the ground and the players union is going to say, you know, we don't have to go out and sacrifice our bodies. And we don't have to have this long training camp. We don't have to do all that stuff. We don't know if the NHL and the NBA are going to go back. I hear the NHL is looking at really condensing their schedule and going January and being done in July, not being done in August or September. Okay. So is this where we are in 2020 when we're in 2025 and all of a sudden it's, yeah, there was a time when the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL were all going head to head with each other. And then this thing called COVID hit, and then the leagues all changed.
And I think that's really smart. I mean, I think it's smart that the NBA just waits until they have not their own window, but they don't have to compete against the heart of the football season. I'm sure the NBA would much rather go head to head with baseball than they would NFL and college football.
But if you're an NBA guy, does your season playoff wise start in July and end in August, or do you go all the way into October like we had this year? To me, it felt a few weeks too long. But, you know, it's COVID. So if you start on January and you end in August and it goes right up against football and then football takes over and football does their thing, you know, we have to do some NBA draft stuff on Thursday's show. The draft is coming up. So it's just crazy this year. All right, Sandy Charles is going to join Eric and I next. Stay with us. All right, Eric and I are now joined by Sandy Charles. Sandy, of course, part of Sports 360 AZ, team Sports 360 AZ. She is also out storming sidelines on Friday nights, and in about 20 minutes, you will see her with Michael Fabiano doing the fantasy football focus. All right, I want to get you in here with Eric and I, and let's just chop it up. Best high school football team, Sandy, you've seen so far in person. In your sideline gig that you do on Friday nights?
So far in person, it's been Queen Creek. But I have to say that Sunrise Mountain completely surprised me. But so far, it definitely is. The talent on both sides of the ball is going to be Queen Creek.
Yeah. What is it about Queen Creek? I mean, their quarterback's going to USC, and they've got Hunter Barth who's going to count. What is it about Queen Creek for you?
I mean, they have weapons all over, but definitely Devin Brown is fantastic. He played a fantastic game. He's comfortable outside of the pocket, inside of the pocket. But then you talk about their offensive line and Isaiah Glass. He's just anchoring it, and he has that whole line he controls it, and he does such a good job, and he's such a good leader on and off the field. But then you talk about Porter Reynolds and Trey Reynolds, and the whole time Porter was just in Williamsfield, CJ Tillers, the quarterback's face the whole time. And my eyes never left Reynolds ever. I was just so mesmerized how fast he is and how fast he can beat the offensive line. It was incredible. So on both sides of the ball, they're just really stacked. And I have them in my top four for
wow.
making the top.
Wow.
Yeah.
Top three.
They're coached really well, and I had a chance to talk to Coach Jermaine, and I just think that if they can keep this momentum going and keep this clicking and this chemistry, they're fabulous.
Eric, have you seen Queen Creek this year? I know you've done a bunch on them.
No, I have not seen them, but I tend to agree with Sandy. I don't know if they're like a lock for the open, but they certainly have the pieces. Anytime you have a really good quarterback, that's a great start, and I think yes, they have a lot of D1 guys, but most of those Power 5 kids have been playing since their sophomore year, and now they're seniors. So there's enough experience mixed in with some youth, and Joe Germain does do a great job coaching those guys. But it's, you know, Brad, out in your neck of the woods, it's murderer's row out there. So nothing really surprises me. You know, Castile could make a run. Queen Creek could make a run. I'm seeing Desert Ridge this week for the first time in a couple of years. I'm excited to see what they do against Higley. And it's still early enough in the year where, you know, 2020 has just been weird in general. And something tells me the back half of the Open 8 this year could be a little bit weird as well.
So who's in your Open right now, Eric?
Oh, I don't know. Like, we're two weeks into the season,
I know,
Brad.
I know, but who are locks right now? Chandler's a lock. Hamilton's a lock.
Is a lock.
And Hamilton's a lock.
I mean, Chandler's the fifth best team in the country, so I think they're going to make it.
Eric, you're so red. You totally put on the spot, but it's so good.
So who's in your open, Sandy?
So I have Chandler, Hamilton, Saguaro, Queen Creek. I had Williamsfield. I took them out after. Who am I forgetting? I have Castile. I have yet to see Castile. I'll see them this weekend. I'm really excited about them. Gosh, who am I? I'm totally forgetting. I had to do this last night because for Ralph and Arizona Varsity, I did put Sunrise Mountain in at number 7, I think it was.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people have Corona del Sol out there. I don't have them on mine. I'm really missing a lot of teams, and I feel bad, but those are my top four.
I think one that you're missing is Desert Edge, because I think they have a shot just because their schedule is difficult, but it's nothing like some of the other bigger 6A schools. So yeah.
Where's Centennial at in all this, guys? I mean,
they're not on mine.
And yeah. Centennial got boat raced by Hamilton. Does that mean they're just done?
I don't think so. I don't think they're done, because they're playing a much more difficult 6A schedule this year than they did last year. And that's going to be the one interesting thing at the end of the year, guys, is a team like Centennial that may have one loss but play a much more difficult slate than maybe a Desert Edge undefeated squad. That's going to be an interesting balance, because I do think if you play a really, really hard 6A schedule and you have one blip, and yes, it's in the first game, and yes, they got blown out, but it was to Hamilton, who is pretty much a lock for the open. We'll have to see. Glad that's not my decision to make.
Yeah, they're not in mine, and I hope they prove me wrong. I was out at their practice, and after that game, I'm just not drinking the Kool-Aid this year. And wow. I really hope they prove me wrong, just because I love Coach Taylor. I love all those coaches. I love all the kids. I just don't think this is their year.
Yeah, they're going to ban you from campus, Sandy.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
You're hating on us. You hate on us.
I'm
hater.
Not hating.
It's hater.
It's everyone's year, you know. It's everyone's year changes, and this year could be Hamilton's, and I really think that it is. It's just not Centennial's, and there's some things to figure out. Hamilton ran such circles around them. Centennial seemed so lost. I think that at quarterback they have a lot to figure out. Offensive line, these are big guys. I think they were saying that they average around 315 pounds across the line, and that's great and all, but you still have to be athletic. You can't just lean on the other side, you know. So you still have to be able to do your job. And I just don't know if they can get it done.
And one last thing, guys. I think when you're looking, if we're looking ahead to Saguaro and Hamilton, not this week, but next, you know, I wish that game was a little bit later in the year, because Saguaro has a handful of impact transfers that will not be eligible for the Hamilton game. So what all these teams look like before week 5 and what all these teams look like towards the end of the season is going to be completely different for some of these schools that get transfers like Saguaro does.
Well, and Williamsfield's in that boat too, Eric. Williamsfield's going to have a bunch of transfers later. Hey, Sandy, time is short, but what do you have coming up with Michael Fabiano? What are you guys going to talk about here in a few minutes?
Of course, Dak Prescott, just terrible. 2020, you guys, will not let up. So we talk about his injury and how that's going to affect the receivers. Then Dalvin Cook, waiver wire needs, of course, and some surprises. There's two surprise names that we throw out there that just 3 weeks ago nobody was talking about. So he goes through it all. You know, he loves covering kickers and tight ends and waiver wire needs and all that kind of stuff. So we talk about it all.
All right, that comes up in about 10 minutes. Sandy, good job. Eric and I are back with more after this timeout. So if Cliff Kingsbury does not have a successful return to Dallas next week, it's not the end of the world. This game is not the end of the world for the Cardinals, even though I've built it up as it's big for them on a national stage. The following week, they have Seattle. So, Eric, I don't know about you, but I've seen enough of Seattle that they are not miles ahead across the board, but Russell Wilson and his ability to go out and win. And we're going to have Peter on Thursday, Peter King. Russell's got to be the MVP in Peter's mind right now. We're at this quarter pole of a weird season, and the MVP stuff, people talk about Patrick Mahomes. He just ends up losing a game. Every week I see Russell Wilson, and I see Seattle, and I look at the Cardinals and say, they're not where Seattle is. And then I saw the Rams last week, and yeah, it was the stinking Washington football team. And they had 8 sacks on the day. And the Rams, to me, look better. And the 49ers are sitting up there with their third-string quarterback. They bench Garoppolo. They're all over the roadmap. And so I think that, you know, the next 2 weeks for me, like the last 3 weeks, were these are games you guys should win. And they didn't until last week against the Jets. now I look at these next 2 weeks and say, okay, you have Dallas and then a short week with Seattle. You come out of that 0-2, come out of that 1-1. Is that great? I mean, it's a stretch where in an NFL season, you're not going to lose everything the first few weeks, but now you are getting in a nut cutting time, for lack of a better term, I think.
I think the division is interesting. I mean, the 49ers almost get a pass from me. They've been so beat up. Everyone's hurt. As for the Rams are a nice bounce back story. I think they're the second best team in the division. Russell Wilson has been unbelievable, Brad, but I think DK Metcalf is a guy that does not get nearly enough attention. Everyone talks about Russell Wilson, and undoubtedly he's been the top quarterback, but DK Metcalf, he didn't come out of nowhere. But, I mean, he is an elite NFL receiver, and he's only going to get better. So, as for Monday night, I think it's a game the Cardinals, I don't want to say should win, but definitely can win. There are going to be fans in Dallas, but you would think they would really be amped up to play on Monday night. And Kingsbury really downplayed on Zoom yesterday the fact that he was going back to Texas. He gave, like, an 8-word answer, didn't really make that big of a deal of it. But I think for Kyler, because Kyler is from Allen, which is just a stone's throw from Arlington.
Right.
For him, this is a really, really big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, Kingsbury's been kind of this aw shucks dude. I sat in on a couple of those Zooms, and it's like, okay, there's really nothing here to see. I'm going to get the same old stuff. NFL draft night was interesting for him sitting in his house and having the man pad go on. But by and large, it's like, okay, you were brought here to have this wide-open offense. You're brought here to resurrect a team that missed on a coaching hire. You're brought here to bring some buzz. And I think Kyler has done that. I don't know if Cliff has done that. You know, like, there's this whole buildup of Kingsbury and his offense, and I have to give Steve Keim all the credit in the world because DeAndre Hopkins has gotten more involved. I see Cliff Kingsbury still making decisions that you look at and say, you're giving the ball an awful lot to Kenyon Drake. Why don't you give it to Chase Edmonds a little bit more? I'm looking at the defensive side of the football where Vance Joseph, everybody wanted to fire him last year. I get it. Firing coaches, that's part of the deal for fans. Has their defense this year really been that much better? They were without Buda Baker. They had the skid. They had the disappointing game against the Lions, the disappointing game against the Panthers. So now you put all that to the side, and if you lose Chandler Jones, that's a big setback, obviously. But I guess I'm looking at Kingsbury as just kind of this, okay, you know, enough of the hype machine. Let's just see if this thing could get pushed forward. And he's not one to hype, but the organization brought him in with this big, grandiose plan. Well, your division's really tough, and you've had some injuries. And now you have two teams in back-to-back weeks. One of them's a perception game. Dallas is a perception game. Seattle, it's within your division. You can make the argument it's a bigger game than if they lose to Dallas, so what? If they beat Seattle, it's wow. Okay, they beat the Seahawks. Nobody beats the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think much like we talked about in the high school segment, Brad, the sample size with the NFL is really small. I mean, the Cardinals have not played the two best teams in the NFC West yet, and that's going to be a real measuring stick when they do play the Rams and the Seahawks. As for Kingsbury, I mean, last year, they were a fun team to watch, even though they had a losing record. The year before that, before Kingsbury got here, they were a really bad team with a really bad watch. So I'm willing to give Cliff a little bit of slack on it. I just think that it's interesting because the Cliff Kingsbury perception that we all thought is like the complete opposite of who that guy is.
Yeah, that's my point.
He is an X's and O's, get to the office early, stay really late. He's not the, I'm going to be out in Old Town, look at me, I'm Coach Bro, yada, yada, yada. Like that stigma that you had at Texas Tech, oh, he's this really great looking guy. Yeah, that's all true. But I mean, he's really a football coach. And I think if you're Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim, this is your guy. So I'm wondering, you know, say they go 8-8 this year, next year they get off to kind of a slow start. Okay, you know, you've had 2.5 years. Is this the guy, or do we start over again?
Yeah, no, it is the what have you done for me lately league. And I'm not saying or suggesting that they missed, but I think anybody who's going to sit here and say they absolutely hit a home run out of the park, you know, like you look at Carolina, they were laughed at and criticized on the hiring of Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule's out there without Christian McCaffrey, and they're winning. And they're just not winning. They're taking care of business winning. And so, the hirings of these coaches, yeah, it's about a three-year cycle. And if you hit on somebody like Pete Carroll and you last forever, right, or Mike Tomlin and you're with the Steelers forever, a lot of these other jobs, it's just you're going to have about 3 years, 3 to 4 years. That's the lifespan. And for the Cardinals, if you go back and look at their coaches, of all the coaches they've had, it's usually about a three-year run. If that is true, then we're almost halfway through Cliff Kingsbury's run here in Arizona, believe it or not. It's gone that quickly. And so you want to see in this game against Dallas, you know, I just want to see a complete performance from start to finish. You know, they played the 49ers. I'll go back a little bit on what you said. They opened the season with the 49ers, and that's a team that was in the Super Bowl, and they did beat them. Now, was San Francisco at 100% for that game? No, they weren't. And the Cardinals had to come from behind. That was impressive to me on how they started out. This is a stretch here where, okay, where are we at here against the Cowboys? This is national television, too. The Cardinals, like most pro sports teams, are all about perception and national audience and big buzz. You go get humiliated in Dallas, that's not a good look.
I think, Brad, when you're comparing, I know you're not purposely comparing Matt Rhule to Cliff Kingsbury, but if you put their resumes side by side, you know, Matt Rhule won at Temple, which no one had ever done.
To Temple, yeah.
And then he went to Baylor and got Baylor to a New Year's Six game and put together a really good defense. And now he's in the NFL and he's winning. Yeah. A little bit different from Cliff. You know, Cliff took over his alma mater. They were average. Eventually he got fired and then he got hired to be an NFL coach. So the ladder for those two guys has been a little bit different.
No, it's a great point. It's just that the hire was so outside the box.
Yep.
And then it was lauded, and then it was laughed, and now it's being lauded, and will it be laughed? I think these next couple games, you know, as I said, go look at the resume of the Cardinals. Cardinals may argue on this. The facts are, about every 3 years, you guys change coaches. It's just how it is. Sandy Charles comes back with Michael Fabiano in the fantasy football segment. That's next.
Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Charles, and as always on a Tuesday, I'm joined by Michael Fabiano, Sports Illustrated Senior Fantasy Analyst. Michael, 2020 has not been good to us, and we have to start off with injuries. First, Dak Prescott, what's the latest with him, and then how does this affect the receivers?
Yeah, it's a tough blow for Cowboys fans and fantasy owners alike, and I happen to be both. So it was a bit of a depressing scene, and of course, you know, you wish Dak all the best. The surgery was a success, and hopefully he's going to be good to go for training camp in 2021. But for now, Andy Dalton comes in and suddenly has a lot of fantasy value. Now, he's not Dak Prescott, so he certainly needs to be added off the waiver wire, but he's not like Dak in that you're setting it and forgetting it. He's in your lineup every single week. That's not the case with Andy Dalton. He is a former top 10 fantasy quarterback, so he'll be one of the most added players off the waiver wire heading into week six. The wide receivers, well, I feel like there is a bit of a downgrade with them as well because the quarterback position clearly not as good. Although, again, Andy Dalton's one of the better, if not the best backup quarterback maybe in the National Football League, right? Jameis Winston's probably up there as well. But mm-hmm. You're going to still play Amari Cooper as you normally would. You're still going to play CeeDee Lamb as you normally would. Michael Gallup is the third guy in terms of targets there at the wide receiver position in Dallas. So he's probably a matchup-based starter, although most people probably are going to have to play him as a flex during the bye weeks. And I know that you hear that the Cowboys will want to lean on Zeke a little bit more, which might be the case. But, I mean, how many more touches can you give him, right? I mean, he's already averaging over 20 touches per game. And I do feel like the Cowboys offense will continue to throw the ball. Maybe not as much. I mean, they're throwing it like 66% of the time. It's just bananas. But they'll throw it enough where those wide receivers can still have fantasy success. But you won't have as much confidence without Dak in some of these guys, especially a Michael Gallup or maybe even a Dalton Schultz over the next several weeks. Hoping for good things, though, on Monday night against the Cardinals in what should be a high-scoring game.
Now, for those fantasy owners that have Dak, who should they be eyeing on the waiver wires?
So Andy Dalton would be one of those options. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert, who looks bananas good, like crazy good. Like, this guy doesn't look like a rookie. The problem is that the Chargers have a bye coming up. And Derek Carr is also worth a look, but he's got a bye. Teddy Bridgewater, who I told you to pick up last week, had a very solid game, but he's got the Bears. That's not a great matchup. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is the most disrespected quarterback in fantasy football since the middle of last season, he's available in a lot of leagues. He's got the Jets this week, a revenge game. He's played for so many teams that half the league is a revenge game, but whatever. Fitzpatrick is a guy that you could pick up for this week. Gardner Minshew might be floating around out there in some non-competitive leagues, so you can pick him up as well. But the good news is, and most of it's bad because you're losing Dak, if you had to lose a top player at any position in fantasy football, quarterback is probably the one that you can replace the easiest. Not that you can replace Dak, because you can't.
Right.
But there's probably some pretty good options on the waiver wire there.
Let's keep it on injuries. So any update on Dalvin Cook and how this potentially affects Alexander Mattison?
For me, I would project Cook not to play. We've already seen reports that he is unlikely to play. And here's the thing. I don't think that the injury is like severe. Mm-hmm. He tried to come back last week. But Minnesota's got Atlanta this week. They stink. Their defense is terrible. They haven't won a game. They just fired their coach and GM. Then Minnesota has a bye. So if the Vikings feel confident that they can give the ball to Alexander Mattison, and I think they are confident in him, and beat Atlanta, then they get another week where Dalvin can heal up, and then he's good to go heading into week 8. That would be what I would project to happen. Madison's not available in competitive leagues. He's just not. He might be out there in some home leagues. If he is, you got to get him. He is a must start if you have him against Atlanta. Their defense is terrible against the run. It's actually just terrible, period.
Now, and one name that we were talking about, and I guess everyone's talking about him now, but Travis Fulgham, is he a must own now?
So he's certainly worth a look off the wire without question. Carson Wentz is going to him a ton, right? He's got 13 targets this past week. He had 13.7 points the previous week in week 4. And he did it against Pittsburgh. I mean, that's impressive. Maybe Pittsburgh's defense isn't that good. But Fulgham's got the Ravens this week. I don't know if I'm starting him against the Ravens. That to me is chasing the points. But then he's got the Giants and the Cowboys. So, boom, two really good matchups. So, is he worth adding? Absolutely. Is he worth starting in week 6? Probably not. Also, and wide receiver has a lot of options off the wire. Chase Claypool was very good against Philadelphia. 4 touchdowns. Deontay Johnson can't stay healthy. And he has got the Browns this week. Then a tough matchup against the Ravens, bye, and then the Cowboys. So Claypool is going to be added in a lot of leagues. Henry Ruggs at wide receiver will be added in a lot of leagues, but they have a bye. So if you need instant gratification, you can't grab him. Laviska Shenault is a very good pickup this week too. 8 targets last week, 7 catches. They've got Detroit this week. Their defense is bad. And DJ Chark is banged up. So even if Chark plays, Chenault's worth a look this week against Detroit. If not, then Chenault is a very good play.
As always, I'm joined by senior fantasy analyst for Sports Illustrated, Michael Fabiano, talking all things fantasy football. Okay, where do you rank Justin Herbert among quarterbacks now? I know you touched on him a little bit earlier, but where do you rank him?
I can't put him in the top 10 because the position's too deep. Top 15? He's pushing for it. Like I said, LA has got a bye coming up this week because of all the COVID schedule madness. But his numbers have been great. I mean, 7 touchdowns in the last 2 games. He's gone up against Tom Brady and Drew Brees and then Patrick Mahomes as well. And remember, you know, the Chargers were in that game. And unfortunately, the Chargers are going to charger, right? They just can't win games that they are close in. But he's looked great. I didn't think he was going to do this, honestly. Name me the last Oregon quarterback who's come out and done anything in the NFL. It was Dan Fouts in the 70s and 80s. But he's been great, and he needs to be owned across the board. Again, not playing this week, but long-term, you look at the schedule past this week, it is extremely, extremely positive. You've got Miami and Jacksonville and then the Raiders. So there could be some shootouts there.
Now, you touched on a lot of waiver wire needs. So let's just reverse a little bit and back. I don't think we've touched there yet. Running back needs.
There's not much. I got to be honest. There is not much. So Madison's the number one guy this week. Mm-hmm. Chase Edmonds is worth an ad. I talked about him last week. He still lost the touch battle to Kenyon Drake, but Kenyon Drake doesn't look good. He doesn't. I mean, the Jets are awful, and Drake got him in the end zone, but he didn't look that great. So Chase Edmonds is a player that needs to be added across the board. Cowboys, Seahawks, Vine, and then Dolphins. And then Matt Breida. Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch this past week. Miles Gaskin has taken over the job in Miami, and he's a really good play this week against the Jets. But Miami, poor signing with Jordan Howard. Matt Breida was the number two. If something should happen to Gaskin, right, and we've seen injuries all over the place, then it looks like Matt Breida could be the number one running back in Miami. So he's worth a look. But, Sandy, it's thin out there at running back, like really very thin. Mike Boone, if Cook is out this week, is worth a flyer as well. But Minnesota's got a bye after that. So if you're not using Boone this week, maybe it's not worth it. It's very thin at running back.
Now, you touched on quarterback and wide receiver. Are there any other names that you didn't get in there?
So at wide receiver, Mecole Hardman's worth adding. Sammy Watkins is banged up. He's got a hamstring. Preston Williams had a good game last week for the Dolphins. He's got the Jets this week. Nelson Aguilar and Tyler Johnson are more deeper league kind of thing. And Aguilar's got a bye this week with the Raiders. And Tyler Johnson really only has value as long as Chris Godwin is out. At tight end, if Robert Tonyan did not get picked up, then go get him. He is the 3-touchdown superstar from a couple of weeks ago. Packers had a bye. So he's still available in about 50% of leagues that I've seen on ESPN. So he could be added. Gerald Everett, I mean, the Rams tight ends is like a committee. Tyler Higbee's been a bust outside of one game. And if you're hurting at the position, maybe Cameron Brate, Darren Fells in Houston. But honestly, tight end is rough right now. It's rough sledding at that position.
Awesome. Any other last thoughts, anything for fantasy owners?
Make sure you are active on the waiver wire because you never know when a COVID situation is going to hit, when a guy is going to get hurt, and when a game might be moved. And also, you never know when you might pick up, say, like a Mike Boone, right? And in a week or two, something happens and the players ahead of him are unavailable, hurt, COVID, whatever the case may be, and suddenly you got this star. Look what happened with Mike Davis. Anybody who drafted Mike Davis as a handcuff for Christian McCaffrey is laughing all the way to the bank because he's been great. So don't ever leave like dead spots on your roster. If there's a guy that you're just not going to use, he's worthless. And he is not doing anything but taking up, you know, space on your bench. Pick up somebody who might be able to help you. I mean, like maybe like a Trenton Cannon, right, for Carolina. He's the backup for Mike Davis. If Mike Davis goes down, Cannon's the next guy up until Christian McCaffrey comes back. You always have to be forward thinking. Even if the guy doesn't have a role right now, if he could potentially have a role because something happens down the line, then he's worth a look over a guy who is maybe, hell, AJ Green right now isn't even rosterable. I don't know why he's on anybody's roster at this point. So make sure you're doing that kind of thing and you're leaving your bench with some potential upside if the worst happens on that respective team.
I know I said last one, but when you were talking, it got me thinking about Claypool. I really like, what do you expect out of him?
So that's the best game he might have his entire career in the NFL. I mean, like 4 touchdowns, that's bananas. That doesn't happen. But Deontay Johnson's the X factor here, right? If Deontay can't stay healthy, then Chase Claypool's going to make a bigger impact. If Deontay Johnson can get back on the field, then that spreads the targets out even more. But Ben Roethlisberger clearly trusts this rookie. Juju Smith-Schuster is not, whether or not he's played well doesn't matter, and fantasy is not doing the job. And really, I mean, we're learning that he needs Antonio Brown back because he hasn't done much without Antonio Brown. They also have Eric Ebron. James Washington is also in the mix there as well. So there's a lot of mouths to feed. So while I would love to have Claypool off the wire, that doesn't necessarily mean he becomes a must start. And a lot of that has to do with whether or not Deontay Johnson can actually get back on the field. And so far this year, he's not been durable.
Awesome. Great points. Things I didn't even think about. As always, Michael Fabiano, I'm Sandy Charles, and we will see you next week for more fantasy football talk.